Well, it is past my bedtime, so I am sleepy, and I was excited. He had told me I'd be preaching in the first service, so I thought, you know, I won't have time to get real nervous, so I've sat here all night and just gotten more nervous than I already was, so there's no telling what we'll say. We'll just see what happens. Your pastor has turned me on to some dad jokes, and I think his family is probably as tired of them as my family is, but I was reading them today, and one of them said, did I tell you what I saw? Wood. For those of you that are more demented in your mind, like I am, I could tell you about the baby seal that walked into the club. Some of y'all will get these next week. Anyway, James chapter number 4, we'll start reading verse number 13. I am thrilled to be here tonight, and I can honestly say I am the least of these among my brethren. Man, what preaching we have heard tonight. And I'm just thankful to be able to be acquainted with these men, call them my friend. And man, just got some help. And we just trust the Lord to help us give you what is on our heart for tonight. James chapter number 4, verse number 13, we'll start reading. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I was amazed to find that people in this world have all kinds of sayings about life. Of course, probably one of the most popular ones because of the movie Forrest Gump, actually originating from a novel by Winston Groom. He made the statement, life is like a box of chocolate. You never know what you're going to get. Many more sayings, life is like a camera. Focus on what's important. Capture the good times. Develop from the negatives. And if things don't work out, just take another shot. Life is like a book. It is told in chapters, and you cannot embrace the next chapter until you close the current one. Life is like a piano. What you get out of it depends on how you play it. But your Bible tonight tells us that life is like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Here the Lord makes a comparison of our life. In Acts chapter 2, verse number 19, your Bible says, and I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Smoke is a vapor. It can be seen. It can be felt, so to speak, for just a short time, and then it vanishes away. Some smoke is thicker than others. Some makes a greater impact on you than other smoke does. Some lasts longer in the sky, and you can see it float higher than other smoke. But the reality of it is it doesn't hang around forever. It's here for a little while and then gone. It is our life. It is that it is short. It is that it is not a lot of length to it. I mean, it seems like I've turned around just a couple times and my kids have grown up and, you know, one's in college and the other one's, you know, getting ready to drive and I'm thinking, what in the world happened? I've been married 23 years and I'm scratching my head trying to figure out how it all happened so quick. I remember, you know, telling my wife whenever Patrick was 10 years old, look, we've got about 8 more years and he's going to be 18 and it seems like we had that conversation yesterday. Now he's 19, and I'm thinking, where has the time gone? The reality is, life is short. The comparison of life that the Scripture makes. I notice the charge of life that he gives us. He said, ye that say, in verse number 13, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I would dare say the ye that say are the majority of us in here. Most of us have already made plans for tomorrow. And we've already made plans for next week. And we've already made plans for next month. And we've already made plans for next year. And the reality is we don't know that tomorrow's going to come. We don't know that next month's going to come. We don't know that next year's going to make it. And yet, at the sake of sounding foolish, I don't want to stand up here and make you think that you shouldn't plan ahead and that you shouldn't. But it ought not be that you are planning ahead with the exception of Christ or with the exception of the Lord being in it. He said what you ought to say is, if the Lord will, we'll do this. If the Lord will allow, I'll do this. But I'm afraid that many of our decisions and many of our life plans and many of what we've decided we're going to do, the Lord has not had any discussion in any of it. We've decided what we're going to do with the rest of our life, and we've done so on our own. We see the charge of life. May I draw our attention to the consideration of life? I mean, as we are approaching the end of the year, there is the reflection of the past year. I wonder, as we reflect over last year, did we accomplish everything we set out to do? We're approaching the new years, and we'll make new year's resolutions, and we'll all make promises and commitments, and most of us will be just like I did, and we'll do all right for the first couple months, for the first couple hours. Before you know it, we have fallen back into the same routine that we fell in every year. But as you reflect over last year and your walk with the Lord, we sat in service 2 years ago just like this. We didn't get to have it last year. We sat in service 2 years ago just like this. Preachers pleaded with your heart. We begged you to get things right and to make this year different. And I wonder, how different was it really? There's the reflection of the past year. There's the rejoicing in a new year. I mean, it is an exciting time. We've made it another year. You're sitting in the church. You're not out of the church. I mean, it's already been said that we look around and we wonder where some are at that were here last year that aren't here. We'll look around next year and we'll wonder where some of you are at that won't be here next year. But the reality is, for this year, we've all made it. We're getting ready to approach a new year, and we're sitting in church, and we're where we're ought to be, and we're doing what we ought to be doing, and hopefully, especially after tonight's preaching, you're not on your way out, you're on your way in. Amen. And we can rejoice in another year. But I want you to see the reality of a new year. The reality of 2023. We can reflect over 2022, but the truth is we can't go back and do anything about it. It's past. What has happened has happened. We can rejoice in the fact that a new year's coming, but if we're not careful, we'll end up doing the same thing we did last year, and 2023 won't be any different than 2022. But it is exciting. We get a new year. Another opportunity. I mean, the world's supposed to have ended, you know, 4 or 5 times by now. It's something to be excited about. We're still here. We're still, you know. But the reality of a new year. You realize we're 1 year older. We're 1 year closer. 1 month closer. 1 day closer, 1 step closer to a lot of things. the reality of a new year. We're one step closer to heartache. Brother Cody's already said it just this week. You had some people in your church get phone calls and events happen that has drastically changed their life. We're not talking about minor things. We're not talking about things that are just bumps in the road. We're not talking about a few hiccups. We're talking about things that will have a major effect on their life. You say, yeah, we're praying for them. I mean, but the reality is, 2023, there's a good chance that some of us sitting in this room are going to get a phone call like that. We're going to get a diagnosis like that. And it's not going to be our church family that got the call. It's going to be you that got the call. It is that you are one step closer to the trouble that's coming. You say, you act like it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Somebody sitting in here tonight is going to call their pastor up and is going to be like, preacher, I need you. My world is falling apart. My husband just passed away. My wife just passed away. They just told us that I've got cancer. They just told us that this is happening. My wife's leaving me. My husband's walked out. Something's going to happen. You can count on it. There's enough of us gathered in this room that it's probably going to happen to several of us. And the difference in whether or not you're sitting here next year, whether or not you're still pressing on, whether or not you're still being what you ought to be, it's going to be your relationship with the Lord. It's not going to be your relationship with your pastor. It's not going to be your relationship with your church family. It's not going to be your relationship with your parents, because I'll promise you, if you're counting on them, they're going to fail you. They're going to let you down. What's going to keep you is your relationship with Christ. You're one step closer. You're 1 month closer. You're 1 year closer. I don't know when the phone call is going to come. I don't know when the heartache's going to come. I don't know when the trouble is going to come. But I guarantee you this, we're closer now than we were. You say, I thought we were going to rejoice in the new year. There are things to rejoice about. But you better keep the reality of it in the back of your mind, that trouble is going to come. It amazes me that we can stand and we can preach like this, and we can try to prepare people, and we can try to teach our children about these things, and yet whenever things happen, we all scratch our head and go, I can't believe that this has happened. We've been telling you that it's going to happen, that trouble's going to come. Yeah, well, I knew it would come to their family, and I knew that it would happen in their home, and I knew that it would happen maybe to their children, but it was not going to happen to me. You're one step closer to heartache. Tell you what the reality of the new year is. Brother Jeremy preached on it and couldn't get away from it. But the reality is, for maybe somebody in here, is you're one step closer to hell. You've never been born again. You haven't trusted Christ your Savior. You're not saved. You're going. Lord, if the Lord tarries and allows me, Sunday morning I'm going to preach on the wheats and the tares. And there's some of you that are just tares. You've grown up in church and you've grown up with the wheat, and you know exactly what you're supposed to do. You know exactly what you're supposed to say. You've been through the motions. You've done. You do everything you're supposed to do. But the truth is, there is no fruit. There is no substance. You're just not wheat. And you've made it another year, and we're getting ready to roll into 2023. But if you don't get saved, if you don't get born again, The reality is you're just one step closer to hell. It breaks my heart at the thought of those that are lost and never darken the doors of church and they're living life to what they think is its fullest, and they're doing drugs and they're partying, and it doesn't matter how many times you invite them and what you do, they're just not coming. I'll just be honest with you. Those that I know like that, it breaks my heart that they're in the condition they're in. Can I tell you what disturbs me even more? Is those that I preach to week in and week out, and those that I poured my heart out to, and those that parents are praying for, and those that parents have sacrificed on the altar for and begged God to do something in their life, and yet they refuse to get right with God. And on a Friday night in a service like that, that's probably the lost crowd we'd be preaching to. You're just one step closer to hell. One step closer. Man, preacher, we get to go into a new year. That's great. Unless you're lost. You're going one step closer. Stepping out into eternity. Never having an opportunity like you have tonight. One step closer. But may I say lastly, we're one step closer to heaven. I hate it for those of you that are lost. I hate it for those of you that have refused Christ. I hate that you're one step closer to hell. I know that in my own family, there is a good possibility that there's going to be a tragic event. There's going to be heartache in my life. That we're going to get a phone call. That there's going to be something happen in my family. I understand that. But the reality is tonight, with every year, with every month, with every day, I am one step closer to heaven. Y'all's church, I know you prayed for us, and I appreciate it, and we still don't know 100% what went on and what happened, but it's been, a couple months ago now. I woke up one Wednesday morning, and I went to brush my teeth, and whenever I was brushing my teeth and I went to spit, it just ran out the right side of my mouth. I mean, I just couldn't spit. I couldn't pucker my lips up. It just run. And I thought, that's weird. So I wiped my mouth, cleaned up, got the kids up, got them ready. We went down to the church and put them in their classes for school. And I sat in my office for a little bit, and I thought, I'm going to go get me a biscuit. Like, I need another biscuit. But that's what I did. So I went down to Wendy's, and I got me a biscuit. Went back to the office, and I sat down. I went to eat it, and my mouth just wouldn't work right. I couldn't take a bite right, and I couldn't do it. Something's wrong. I called my wife, and I told her. She said, why don't you call Heather, a lady in church, she's a nurse. And so I called her, and she said, preacher, I hate to tell you this. You probably need to go to the hospital. I said, okay. So I did, and I went to the hospital, and Patrick rode with me down there. I wouldn't let him drive. I didn't make him ride in case something happened. Maybe he could reach over and grab the steering wheel or something. I don't know. But anyway, I'm on the phone with my wife. And my wife told me this. She said, you get in the hospital. She said, you aren't allowed to sign anything until I get there. He said, what you mean? Oh, she knows. I'd sign my life away in a minute. Me and my mama joke, we trying to see who can take the fastest bus out of here. I'm like Paul. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I've got a desire to part and leave this land, which is far better to be with Christ than I do to hang around here. I realize that it's needful for me to be here. I realize my wife needs me. I realize my children need me. But I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, he said, than anything around here. And the reality of it is, this new year just puts us one step closer to heaven. Say, aren't you worried about getting older? I'm not one bit worried about getting older. I don't know what life holds, and I don't know how long I'll get to hang around on this planet, but what I do know is this year just puts me one step closer to heaven. Get to thinking about heaven. Might I remind us that we need to stop and realize that there is at first going to be the judgment seat of Christ. We can be excited as we want to be, But you better realize and understand tonight that we've got to stand before Christ. We've got to give an account for what we've done in this life. You better be mindful of that. As we approach this next year, it do you good to be mindful of the fact that you're going to stand before Him and give Him an account of what you do with 2023. You want a sobering thought? It's not your life to live. It's His to live through you. There's the judgment seat of Christ, but there's the joy of heaven. As I get older, preacher, I got almost as much over there as I do over here. There's just something joyful about the thought of getting to spend eternity in a place where there is no more sorrow, where there is no more struggle, where there is no more pain, where there is no more phone calls like this, no more heartache, no more. Just the fact that it's a land of some no mores, I'm excited about going. It is that there is the joy of heaven. I don't know what you're looking forward to, but I'm looking forward to seeing my daddy again. I'm looking forward to seeing my brother again. I'm looking forward to just being in heaven. There's the judgment that'll be, but there's the joy that comes with heaven. But can I tell you tonight, there's the Jesus of heaven. I'm looking forward to the joyous opportunities heaven is going to provide. But I'm looking forward to seeing Christ. It is, as he told the thief today, thou shalt be with me. And Paul said it, I've already quoted, I'm in a strait twixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Revelation chapter number 4. Brother Sean was reading in chapter number 3. We get out of here in chapter number 4. The heavens open up, and John's called up into the heavens, come up hither, and he starts describing all these wonderful things, and he starts describing the sea of glass, and he starts describing the beast, and he starts talking about all the things that he sees, and it's all focused and all drawn to one thing. He said, I saw a throne. And all the attention and everything that heaven was about was drawn to one thing, to the throne. But it wasn't to the beauty of the throne. Can you imagine what the throne of heaven looks like? I'm sure that there's much beauty in just the throne itself. But it wasn't the throne that he was so much drawn to, but rather the one that sat on the throne. I don't know about you tonight, but I sure am excited for the new year. I realize there's a good possibility it's going to bring heartache. Good possibility it's going to bring trouble. Good possibility that things are going to be different than they've ever been. As I get older, I can already tell my body's just not going to be what it used to be. And my mind's not going to be what it used to be. And so we understand that there's going to be heartache. And if you're lost tonight, if you are lost tonight, you're one step closer to hell. But thank God for the redeemed tonight. Thank God for those of us that are saved tonight. Thank God for those of us that have been born again. We're just one step closer to heaven. We're one step closer to seeing our loved ones. We're one step closer to getting to be in that land of eternity. But the reality is we're one step closer to seeing our Savior. I'm one step closer to getting to look at Him. I'm one step closer to getting to lay my eyes on Him. I'm one step closer to getting to spend eternity with Christ. It won't be no more by faith, thank God, but it will be by sight. Hallelujah tonight. Preacher, you come.